Once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, we are now here live with the Investor Show. As always, I'm your gracious host, the Prince of Investing, Prince Dykes, coming from the beautiful state of Denver, Colorado. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button if you're catching it live or the playback, or if you're catching audio, have you maybe catching across the globe. Check out the description box to check out some of the great stuff we're doing across the globe. But as always, we got a very excited episode. So when we start this off today, we're always going to start off with our roll call. We have a very, very gracious guest in the building today. We're going to do our roll call right about the three-minute mark. So if you are catching this live, stop by and say hello and where you're from. My microphone was running away from me. I need to get new stands. But anyway, thank you guys and girls for tuning in across the globe. And we're going to have a very great conversation on this Friday as the market gets ready to close. But without further ado, y'all already know who my guest is. This is James coming all the way from Wall Street Vet. And we've seen a lot of stuff going in the market lately. We don't know if we're in a rebound or if we are in a straighten out one of my lights over here. We don't know if we're in a rebound or if we are in a waiting for another big drop-off. So that's going to be today's topic. Are we in a rebound or we have another big drop-off? Are we going to be in a V-shape? Are we in a W-shape? What is next? So much going on around the globe. People are saying, hey, we rebounded. Some people say, hey, this could be a correction, or is it a recession coming up, right? So without further ado, let me bring in my guest. James, how's it going, James?
How are you today?
You look pretty good today.
I'll tell you the truth. Maybe this social distancing has been a lifestyle of mine for years, because I really needed a vacation. The first 2 weeks of this thing, I needed it. And the only bad thing is it got really cold this week, so I can't do my cycling in the middle of the day. So, but other than that, I enjoyed myself.
Okay. That's good to hear. Now, you know, right now, James, you know, we got a lot going on around in the world. You've seen a lot. You've been around. You've been on the show. You know, of course, you're a friend of the show. You come on anytime you want to. But we have a lot of good questions people are asking, right? And everybody is wondering, everybody is wondering right now. So if you're coming in live, drop your comments, tell me where you're at, tell me where you're from. And at the 3 minute mark, I'm going to go through and I'm going to acknowledge everybody's comments. James is going to be able to see what you guys are saying, all of the good stuff. So James, everybody know you are the big optimist. Everybody knows that, right? You always look at the cup half full, but look at some of this data we got going on, James. We got unemployment numbers. We got millions and millions of people losing jobs, filing for unemployment claims. We have the real estate industry showing cracks. We have a coronavirus that's going around. Economy shut down. We don't know when the economy is coming back up. Everybody is wondering, is this a big correction or is it a big recession? But before you get into it, James, let me go through some of the comments of what people are saying, who's coming in live. Here we go. So we have Chuck B. Tiller says, we are in the building. Hey, Prince, and welcome, James. Okay, thank you. That's my guy, Mark Wingo. He says, the uncertainty, very uncertain. Okay.
Definitely.
Woke One says, hi, Prince. Virginia Beach, with the upcoming meat shortage coming to America, any idea of how this may make some cash with it? So we'll kind of get into that. I didn't know about a meat shortage. So Cal says, hello, Prince. We have, I said, Furless. He says, the man with the plan. Okay. Mark says, James, my man, hope all is well.
Oh, awesome. Hey, Mark.
Kyle says, yes, should we hoard beef? People talking about hoarding beef now. I never heard that one.
These guys are saying,
your audio is hard to hear, James.
Can you hear me better now? Hear me better now?
Yeah, I think earlier was a little choppy.
Yeah, I was probably pulling away from the microphone a little bit.
Okay, got it. Okay. So there we go. Athena says, how's life, Prince? Welcome, James. George is in the building. Hey, what's going on, Mr. Trina? Kyle A says, and hoarding beef and selling it on the black market. Okay, I never heard of that one. Okay, so we said, Clan says, hello, I'm Michael Howard from Tacoma, Washington. All right. Okay. Welcome. We have, hold on, make sure we're not missing anybody here. Jarns, he's from Northern Virginia, is in the house. Okay, Northern Virginia, we hear you.
Awesome.
Ashley Nails, hey, Prince from the Bay Area. Got Ashley's in the house. Thank you for tuning in. Max B, my man, you already know where he's from. He said, some states are representing Prince we might as well get a V. So we got New Orleans. We got New Orleans, Louisiana's in the house. Okay. And here we go. We have Furious. He says he's from New Jersey. Actually, yeah, James is in New Jersey. He's from New Jersey.
All right, yeah.
With earnings season, now what are we shorting? So people are talking about short. So, okay, thank y'all for participating in the roll call. If you have some questions, we're going to get to those a little bit later or whatnot. Feel free to drop comments if you're catching it live. If you're catching the playback, stay tuned. You're going to have a great episode, as always. Give you a little backdrop for the people who've never heard or seen James before. James is a 40-year Wall Street veteran, been around since the 70s, the 80s, and 90s, all the way down to 2000. And now what he does is he actually gives tours on Wall Street. I met James about 4 years ago, I think that was. That's about 4 years ago. We met on Wall Street, and he actually gave me a tour, the financial crisis tour, where he took me to where everything that happened in the financial crisis tour. And from that point on, we been the best of friends, and he's been a friend of the show. So glad to have him on. Glad to have him tuning in. So now, James, now let's get to the good stuff. Ooh. Is this a big correction? Or are we headed for the next recession?
Well, I think you got two things going on. First of all, you had a major correction with the stock market, clearly. And I think we're on our way. We're rebuilding up because the stock market is looking way in advance. So the stock market already calculated that we're going to have 22 million people unemployed. It may even get higher, actually, because we basically closed down the economy. What kind of surprises me is how a lot of the media is all surprised that there's all this unemployment. You shut down a lot of states like New Jersey are totally shut down. I don't know what they expected. So you have this enormous economic shock. I guess what we have, and you had asked me this on a previous show a couple of times about a black swan event. And what we truly have is a real black swan event. I mean, I'll be the first to admit, I did not think it was going to get quite this carried away. I didn't think it was going to be quite as significant as it was. I'll be the first one to admit that I was a little slow to grasp the magnitude of what was going to happen. I still think, however, there's a lot more hysteria propelling this than reality.
What was this thing? Your audio is going in. It sounds like it's combobulated. It's like it's almost like your machine almost.
Right.
I don't know. Y'all give me 1 second. I know
you got me better there.
Talk again.
Do you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you, but it's a little it sounds like a robot almost. It's like a little robotish.
Hold on. How's that?
That's better.
All right. Maybe I just pulled on this thing. It's funny, the plug-in's a little sensitive on it.
Okay, yeah, it sound like a little bit of robot, so people couldn't really hear you. But so I'm gonna get back to it a little bit.
Okay.
I want to ask you the question, is this a big correction or are we headed towards the next recession?
Well, I would say we're definitely in the middle of a very big correction. Obviously, we had a big correction. We had a true black swan event, an event that was totally unpredictable. I'd be the first to admit that I failed to grasp the significance, how big this was going to be. As Prince pointed out, he views me as an optimist. One of my friends told me the other day, when we go to a bar, I'm so optimistic. I order 3 drinks in advance at a time. So I'm always ready to, I'm ready for another round. So, I do think this is a big shock to the economy. However, I think we're going to get out of this probably a lot faster than many people think or fear. I think some states like New York City, for example, unfortunately, and New Jersey are going to be a little slower. I think other states, they're already talking about getting back to business in Pennsylvania, getting back to business in Ohio. There's a lot of talk. Florida's even talking about opening up some of the beaches. I think what they're going to try to do is we're going to have a slow roll-in. We're going to be asked to observe the CDC guidelines, you know, wash your hands a lot, social distance, don't get in big groups. I don't know if professional baseball is going to fill stadiums anytime soon, but I think a lot of us may be getting back to work a lot faster than we think. So what does that mean? Does that mean we're in a long-term recession? Well, in reality, if you look, Historically, I would say there's been what most recessions last about 11 months in total. So if you can say we've been in a recession for a month already, we may have 10 months less, or it could be a lot shorter. And I have a tendency to think, because this is purely an outside situation. In other words, in the past, what has happened is the stock market crashed, or we had a huge debt bubble, like real estate blew up. But this time, it wasn't economic news that shut us down. It was health news. So we had this enormous unusual event where we have a virus. Some people look at it as almost like a biological attack. I think a lot of people have watched far too many sci-fi plague movies on television. And so there was a lot of fear that the worst case scenario was going to come. And then, of course, the government rolled out all these models, what I call them, which is my pet peeve in life right now. It started with the climate change models. Now, this is not to argue whether climate change exists or not, but these silly models that they come up with every year or so and tell us the world is going to end in 10 years or New York City is going to be underwater by 1996. Well, I go to New York City almost, at least two or three times a week, and trust me, it's not underwater, and it doesn't look like it's going to be underwater anytime soon. That modeling that we base so much of our activity on continues to be wrong. Originally, when they rolled out the models of the coronavirus, they told us 2 million people could die. Now they're probably down to 60,000. And this is not to belittle. It's not to say that's not a big deal. But on the other hand, you got to keep things in perspective. For example, a lot of people don't realize that 647,000 people a year die of heart attacks. So now if we start to look at the real numbers, yes, we have to be safe. Yes, we have to wash our hands. Yes, we have to social distance. But maybe we overreacted. And I think a lot of things, for example, with tour business. Now, tourists don't come to New York. New York shut down. There's no tour business. But a lot of those people who booked tours in the last couple of months and were going to come to New York basically postponed their trip to, say, next year or later in September. They moved around. And a lot of travel agencies, a lot of businesses will say, I have a friend who was going to go to Florida. He was going to go to Tampa for a week. The trip got canceled, but the travel agency came to him and said, listen, if you go in June, we'll give you a huge discount. We'll refund some of your money and we'll double everything you bought to begin with. They're going to give him a really good deal. So he's like, sign me up. I'm going in June. And so instead of going, I think he was going to go in March, he's going to go in June. And I think a lot of summer businesses like that, yes, if New York City opens for business tomorrow, we're not going to go back to doing tours where we were pre-coronavirus. But over time, we're going to make up the business we lost to some degree, maybe 80%, maybe 90%. So I don't think we're going into massive Great Depression that a lot of people are talking about. I don't see the structural problems there. Like, we don't have a debt bubble. There may be now, because of this slowdown, we're going to see a lot of weak links are going to get shaken out. If you borrowed a little too much money, or you borrowed a little too much with your credit cards, you might be hurting now. But if you were like Prince and you saved all your money and you stashed it away under your bed in a suitcase, you know, now you're ready to roll. You know, he's going to be like one of those rappers and do the thing on TV. Right, with the money coming like that.
Now, James, I got to ask you this question, right? You know, we're seeing a lot of cracks, you know, with so many people being laid off.
Yes.
Right. You know, I want to get into this particular topic, right? It's something I've been talking about for a little while. Let's go with real estate. Right. With all these people that don't have jobs, people that are laid off, people that don't have any money coming in, these people can't pay their rent. These people can't pay their mortgages. If you own a company, like let's say if you own a steakhouse, it's probably your lease is probably owned by a REIT, which is a real estate investment trust. You can't pay your list. Like Cheesecake Factory came out and said, hey, look, we're not going to pay the mortgage. because we can't afford to.
Right.
What do you have to say to when those people can't pay their mortgages, their leases, and their rent? Do you think real estate is in trouble?
Ooh, I think restaurants are going to get hammered. I think a lot of them are going to close and not come back. I think that's a big problem. I think there's a lot of retail small shops may never reopen because of this, the rent issue. A lot of times, even if they forestall rent, like they say, oh, you have a nice landlord, and he goes, okay, I'll give you 90 days. But he's still going to want all 90 days of that rent.
So yeah, that's one thing I want to hit with you too, yeah, as well.
So for those deals, I'd be really like, they talk a lot about those deals, like, oh, we'll let you forestall paying your mortgage for 3 months. But you're going to have to pay for 3 months when it comes due. And those things are not, they only sound great at first, but if you do a little research, generally they're not as good as you could think. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at this whole thing like a big rubber band. And I think a lot of people are going to get stretched to their very limit. And they're going to be calling and crying and borrowing money from mom. And they're going to call you, Prince. And they go, I know you got money under your bed. I want to see some of this. Like, what can I do? If I sell these books for you, give me a commission. They're going to do something. They're going to knock on doors. They're going to contact me on Facebook and go, keep me some trading tricks. I need to trade or whatever. They're going to do stuff like that. And a lot of people, other people are also going to adopt. If I was, say, a young person, I was working in a restaurant, now it's suddenly shut down, I may say, you know what? I need to get a real job. I need to get a different job. Not that restaurant work isn't a real job, but I need to go to a different industry. I need to do something different. So a lot of people are adopting. People are adopting already. For example, I'll tell you about myself. Obviously, there's no tour business, so that went to zero. I also do a lot of brand ambassador work for Nespresso, which is a big coffee company. That went to zero because all the retail is closed. That's a huge hit. I own part of a company that we do casting and TV production out of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Most of that, because Philadelphia is on total lockdown, that's kind of to zero pretty much. Although we have stuff booked for the future, but right now it's zero. The one thing I have is I run a news, sort of a news blog out of Northern New Jersey that does like North Jersey news. It's local news. And that thing has exploded. Why? Because we have information that people need right now. And everybody is logging.
That's the Ridgewood. That's the Ridgewood.
Yes, the Ridgewood blog, yes. Mm-hmm. And it is, advertisers are coming out of the woodwork. It is booming. Now, is it going to make up for all the other things I'm not doing? Probably not. But after 2008, my life is traded at worst case scenario. So my cost every day to live. Now, mind you, I'm not married. I'm divorced. I don't have kids. So it's easy. I can talk a little big. But my life is one that I'm like, I'm sort of every day could be the coronavirus. Like I woke up and I'm like, oh, well, I have some cash in my checking account. The block kicks in some money. I got a couple other paychecks. And of course, Trump's going to send everybody a check now. He might, if you make under a certain amount of money, you're going to get a nice big check. And I think those went out to a lot of people like the last couple of days already. So I'm like in a good position, but now I'm starting to think, wait a minute, what happens if the tours don't come back? What happens if Nespresso doesn't come back? Because sometimes they'd send me to Macy's and Bloomingdale's and big stores like that. Some of these, I would even bet even some big stores like that are.
Oh, that's bad.
Your real estate thing again. So you asked a bullseye question. I think it's going to be mixed. I don't think it's going to be worst case scenario, but I think a lot of people are going to get hurt. And I think anybody who's a fringe person who is just getting by, and I know I have some friends who run restaurants, and restaurants don't really, the margins are very small. So they have a little bit of a slowdown. The one thing I've learned over many years is no matter how good or bad business is, and this was true on Wall Street as well as anything else, that the rent always comes, it's always the same. The rent doesn't go down when business goes down. The rent stays the same, or the mortgage. And you have to, you know, it's easy to talk big now and go, you have to be prepared for this kind of stuff. But I don't want to do that because no one would have expected it to be this bad. But I think for a lot of people, you just have to be brave. You have to hang on. You have to believe you can do it. Some people have to use this as an opportunity to change careers, to maybe even move to a different state. I know a lot of people, like New Jersey's a high tax state as it is. They're not real happy with the way things have been run since this coronavirus thing happened here. They're telling me they're gonna move out the second the curfew's lifted. Like, as soon as we're ready to go, they're moving out already. Where are they gonna go? I don't know, but they're ready to run. So, you know, they're gonna look for other opportunities or better opportunities, maybe in Colorado.
Maybe in Colorado.
Yeah, they'll come work for you, right? They'll work for the Navy in Colorado.
Now I got a question. So we're going to take some of these questions before we get back in. Here we go here. Let's see what we got here. Make sure I don't want to kind of struggle up here. Thank you, everybody, for coming in and dropping some comments on the live side of the house. Let me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay, here we go here. Okay, New Jersey. So LH19 says, hello from Virginia. Virginia's in the house. We have Courtney Rogers coming in from Chicago. And let's say we got Mark Wingo here. What do you think is causing the market to rally in the last 30 minutes to an hour of the market closing? These rallies that we see that the day starts off kind of choppy, but right at the end of the market, it's just everybody kind of runs. I don't know if it did it today because I wasn't, you know, not watching the market right now. But what's causing these big rallies? Do you think people are being over optimistic?
Well, no, I don't. I think big investors are going in and buying. Because as we say, there's an old expression on Wall Street, you can't fall off the floor. Mm. And we had an enormous sell-off. And as I said this early on, even though I was a little early for telling people to start buying, if you buy any time in the last couple of weeks, yeah, you're not going to get the bottom and it might go lower or whatever. But in a year from now, you're going to pat yourself on the back and you're going to say, man, I was pretty smart doing all this stuff. You're going to feel really smart. And I think for a lot of investors, particularly in an event like this, don't beat yourself up. Don't say, oh, I should have, would have, could have, whatever. Just be patient. Don't be shaken. Don't be scared. Stick with your plan. If you invest a certain amount every month, just keep doing it like if nothing's happening. Don't stop doing what you're doing. And I think what's happening is a lot of the big guys are doing what Mark is doing, and they're sitting there going, boy, the market didn't sell off more today. It's kind of hanging in there. We better start buying because I think we've seen the bottom. And I also noticed that if you notice the media, and particularly a lot of the Wall Street people that they're quoting on TV, are all like, we're going to get another fall, and it's going to go down another 50% and all this stuff. I forget who was on one of those stock buying websites. I think it was marketwatch.com. They were talking, somebody was saying we're going to go down another 50% or something like that. When you see a lot of that, that usually means the pros are buying because they're looking for.
Say it again, Jay, because you was a little choppy on that.
What you're seeing still is the media is amazingly negative, and particularly the financial press. And I think when you see, they spotlight all the negative people. And they'll try out, the guy who called the 2008 financial sell-off says we're going to go 50% lower, and they do all that stuff. Those are buy signals. That means you should be buying when they're doing that. Or they have guys who, like I know, since I was in the business, like in 1980, they've been bearish about the stock market. They're always bearish, and they'll trot them all out and tell you how the end of the world already happened and nobody told you. You haven't gotten the telegram yet, or you didn't get the email. And when you see a lot of that negativity, that usually means that the pros are buying, and that means it's still a buying opportunity. I don't see anybody who's a raving bull right now, and that usually is a good sign.
Okay. So now we have Larry says aloha. Hey, what's going aloha. On, Larry? Aloha. He's out in Hawaii. Thanks for tuning in. Okay, so you have excellent audio now.
Cool, thank you.
Mark had another question where he said bank stocks.
Ooh.
Buy, sell, and hold stocks are bank ETFs. What do you think about the financial industry?
Ooh.
JP Morgan is very low right now.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of value in a lot of stuff now. It's hard not to look at this market. I mean, if you went a month back, even the last time we were on, when you had me, when we were live in front of the New York Stock Exchange, man, how cool was that? We were things are much cheaper even then, and the sell-off already started. And
let's try this for a second, Jay. I know your audio is kind of breaking. Right. People are commenting about it.
Okay.
Let me have you go out and come back in. Let's try that.
You mean pull the thing out, undo it? And...
Yeah, well, no. Let's go out of the show and come back into the show.
Okay, hold on.
So we'll take a break. We'll let James go out, come back in. All right. So we haven't, James is going out and he's coming back in. We're going to try to do his audio again once he goes out or whatnot. Let's see, one second here. Studio. He's going to come back in. And he's going to go out and he's going to use the link to come back in. So as we're doing that, guys and girls, I'm sorry for that. If he did not, one second, he's back now. Yeah. What about now, James?
You sound great.
See, there you go. See, I think that works a whole lot better. That was, my producer gave me a text, and he was Chad gave me a text and said, "Hey, Prince, you may want to have James go out and come back in to help out with the audio." So now back on bank stocks, is it a buy, a hold? What do you think about bank stocks, bank ETFs at this time with the financial
industry? I mean, they look like from a month ago, they seem extraordinarily inexpensive. But I am concerned about what you were talking about. What happens if those people don't get jobs and can't pay their mortgages? What about the people that don't pay their rent? How's that going to affect the, you know, at the end, the banks might be mortgage holders for larger properties, right? And then I'm also always really scared when interest rates are super low to buy bank stocks, because, you know, the reverse of that, you can't fall off the floor, is when it comes to interest rates, you know, like you have no yield, you have no yield curve, so it's hard for banks to make money. And interest rates could probably only go up from a certain point. So that's not good for banks. So you might have some headwinds. However, I think we might be, maybe if you take, say, 100%, right, and we sold off 80%, maybe the right price is about 50%. So you're probably going to revalue everything after a huge sell-off like this, for a period of revaluation. I would be cautious with banks, although I don't think they're a bad thing. They're not necessarily bad. I would be a little cautious. You don't want too much exposure to the financial sector right now.
Okay. Now, let's look at the stimulus package. We had a $2 trillion stimulus package that was written, that was all these loans that's supposed to be given to businesses, and the Treasury is going to do this, and they're pushing this money into the financial sector to loan out to companies and businesses and all of the good stuff like that. With that, let me know if my logic is wrong or my thought process is wrong, is that when the Secretary of Treasury, Steve Mnuchin, he puts this money into the financial industry, he said, we're going to give these low interest rate loans to these banks, to these eligible institutions. Then I see people on the list like Bank of America and the JP Morgan's. They're giving out these small business loans, and we know loans come with interest. Isn't that almost like free money to the banks?
Yeah, the other thing is they're taking loans. They're also taking fairly big risks because they're loaning you money, and you might have 10 people, and there's a catch in there. And there's that catch. The catch is, I'm going to loan you money so you can keep paying your employees without letting them go. Well, what happens if the business doesn't come back? What happens? I have a couple of friends who own local restaurants, and one of them is definitely going to close. They're not reopening because
they're not.
They're just done.
How they just done already? How can they just throw the flag in already?
Well, because it's been about a month. Rents come basically twice with the number of employees and everything else. They're just like, look, I've been at this like 30 years. I just smell the wind is not blowing. We're like swimming upstream with us, like a fish swimming upstream. You know, then I have other friend, or like one lady I know who's pretty successful. She, when she got caught in the middle of this, she right away donated a lot of food to hospitals and first responders, which was kind of cool. And then what she did is she decided to close for 2 weeks and basically spend time with her family, and now she's reopened again. Now, I don't know what her rent situation is, but So I think I think the banks, you know, it's free money. I'm not a big fan of all these packages because they come with too many hooks and ropes and stuff like that. I think people should be looking how they can exploit the current situation. In other words, is there a way they can make money? Maybe they start doing deliveries. Maybe if they didn't sell pizzas before, maybe they got to make pizzas for a while and start delivering them. Maybe they got to figure out some way to, like I'm doing, I'm trying to build the blog. Look, I have this Ridgewood blog. It generates some money. How am I going to make more money with it? Because I need to make more money. What do I got to do to get this thing going? And what else can I do? Because maybe the tour thing isn't going to come back for a long time. Maybe with Espresso, we're going to be sitting on the sideline for a really long time. So then what do I do? Right? So I got those like backup plans and like I'm trying to execute now. And I think a lot of people are thinking that. Like they're like what's really gonna happen if the Governor Murphy in New Jersey says, okay, tomorrow everything's open, do what you gotta do. There's a couple of rules. Just make sure you wash your hands and no big events, no rock concerts, no sporting events. But other than that, we're good to go. Does that mean everybody's going to run right back to restaurants tomorrow and start eating? I don't know. Maybe they will in some areas because people have a lot of money. Or maybe they work for the government, so they never got laid off. Or maybe they were, you know, some kind of essential business that they didn't shut down. But maybe a lot of people also are just going to be careful because usually what you'll find is the people who have the most money are always you watch their spending habits and they'll tell you right away how the economy is going because they're always the first ones to stop spending and the first ones to start spending.
Okay. Now let's think about this, right? Let's look at it. We all know a recession is two quarters of a declining GDP, right? So we're looking at the Q2 GDP, which is going to include January, February, March, right? Yeah, I just saw here that the Dow Jones just surged up to 700 points. So let's look at the Q2, right? We already know the Q2 is going to be a decline because March was pretty much just shut down, right?
Yep.
Now, the second quarter is going to include April, May, and June. Yep. We're already going to see April is pretty much off the map. And we're going to look at potentially May is probably going to be hammered or off the map in a way. So right there, Q2 and Q3, just using my simple Georgia knowledge.
Yep.
That could be the sign of a recession right there. What do you have to say about that, James?
Well, I think we're going to signal a recession. But I've talked about this before, is that sometimes you may, because you had this shock where everything was kind of shut off and now things are going to start to get turned on again. I think that it may not last that long. We may be in a recession, but as we start to deal our way out of it, there may be a lot of pent-up demand. So, for example, I don't know if I got if the tour company called me and said, "Hey, starting in the middle of May, we can start booking you for tours. We're good to go. We have a bunch of groups that want to come in, and they're ready to go, and it's all clear. You'll be able to do the tours." I might spend some money now because I know I'm going to be making money in May. But if I don't hear that, even though I have the money, I may not be even if my local restaurant opens up again, or I start to think, wow, I'm running out of vitamins and I need to go to the vitamin shop or whatever and buy some vitamins. I may be real careful about spending money until I see how clear it is. So a lot is sort of in a weird situation. Plus, the old joke is, you know, when your neighbor, when you lose your job, it's a depression. So I think that a lot is going to depend on how fast people get reemployed. For example, most retail is shut down all over the country. Well, if Bloomingdale's and Macy's and a lot of these big department stores come back online and a lot of the malls reopen, a lot of people who weren't working, who are probably furloughed and getting unemployment, are still going to be working, or at least there's going to be an opportunity for them to work very quickly. There's this a lot of chain restaurants like the Starbucks's and things like that. They have a lot more usually, I would assume they have a lot more buying power and a lot more cash on hand. And when they start to turn on, they're going to have to hire people, are going to have to be working all these shifts really quickly. So we may see this kick really fast, or we may struggle for a while, because even like I can tell you right now, if everything I did was doing before this started, I went right back to it, it would probably take me a month to 6 weeks to catch up. Now, other people may say, no, it's going to take me 3 months to catch up, or it's going to take me 6 months to catch up. It might take longer. That's why those strict definitions of what a recession is are not necessarily, you know, so significant. And as I was saying early on, the average length of a recession, and this is counting huge things like, you know, the Great Depression in the 1930s. A lot of people would say the Great Recession from 2008, which a lot of people think went for 8 years. The average time is about 11 months. So I don't know if we're going to see 11 months. I think this is going to be a fast one either way. I think as we start to dig out of it, people are going to notice a lot of changes very quickly. But how quickly people get back to where they were before this all started is a whole nother. Are you going to be 100% or made whole? I'm not so sure how long. That might take a while. Could take 6 months, 7 months, maybe even longer.
Okay. So let's take a couple more questions in here. Bone said, bad timing, you should have streams to close. I'm thankful. Oh, I think he's talking about the timing of the market. Oh,
yeah, well, okay. We get on, it always goes up when we get on.
He's always, exactly, right? So it says, Prince, Chuck be chilling. Chuck is chilling. He said, Prince, I got Berkshire B, Berkshire Hathaway Class B, DAL is the, I think that's Delta, and JPM, I know that's JP Morgan yesterday. Yeah. Taking your advice, no more penny stocks.
Good for you.
And then Kevin said, much better audio. Thank you.
Good.
So Courtney said he got JP Morgan at $87 yesterday. He said he saw my post and got it at $89.
Okay. Look at that. Yeah.
Courtney gave me a thumbs up.
All right.
Bone says, I agree with him 99.95%. The government did overreact. I believe the free market could have corrected this by producing face covering and gloves instead of an economical lockdown.
Ooh, that's a good point. I one thing I want to point out to a lot of people is because of the negativity in the media, the media has really not reported all the amazing things that have been going on. All the companies that stepped up, all the people who have stepped up to either produce masks or do something, all the private citizens who have stepped up. I mean, where I am, there are kids using 3D printers and they're making face masks for local hospitals. It's really cool. Of course, you're going to have a 3D printer, right? So there's a lot of people stepped up, a lot of companies. For example, Abbott Labs came out with a test that in 5 minutes they can tell whether you have coronavirus or not. I don't think barely anybody covered that. A lot of drug companies like Pfizer, Gilead Scientific, whatever it is, has a drug that looks like it's very promising results today. That's one of the reasons the market showed up big first thing in the morning. Johnson & Johnson has some drugs. Some of the old malaria drugs that they used to treat malaria, they seem to work. And I think a lot of this stuff, because there's a lot of hostility towards the president by certain sectors of the country, or certain groups, particularly the mainstream media, I would say, they didn't cover a lot of the positive things. For example, a lot of people don't know, the U.S. Navy sent this beautiful hospital ship to New York, which basically hasn't been used. They also renovated the Jacob Javits Center, and in, I think, 4 days, they turned it into a hospital. And that hasn't been used either. So there's a lot of big positives out there and a lot of market things. I mean, this is what happens when you have a commander in chief who is a developer. What do you think developers do all day long? They call people up and go, I need you to get that plywood in the building by tomorrow. Otherwise, everybody's going to be standing around and they're not going to be working. That's what they do. So I think this was a case where this was really helpful. I think the president put together a really good team, and he had a lot of balance because he had a lot of medical people, and medical people are generally going to be really cautious because they know as doctors, if they say this cures everybody and it doesn't cure one person, they're going to get sued or everybody's going to point at them and go, oh, Dr. Fauci said this was good. And if it's not good for one person, then he looks like a bad guy. And I think a lot of this has happened. It just hasn't been reported.
Okay. All right. So that is a pretty good bones. I got to give him that. That's some pretty good analytical data. Like saying if, what if the government didn't shut anything down and then just let the free market handle it itself to where we would have produced gloves and we would have produced masks. We kind of would have took care of it ourselves. Yep. But then again, if that would have went left, everybody would have talked about the government. The government would have took the blunt aim of that.
Right, right. Then you would have had a lot of people dying. And well, maybe not. Like one of the things that bothers me is we did this huge shutdown, and most of the data will tell you that the people at the greatest risk are older people with some kind of other ailments, which are primarily people in nursing homes. Yet if you look at the death data of all the people who died, it's usually overrepresented by people in nursing homes. And so we did all this stuff, but we still didn't really protect the people who were most vulnerable, which I think is quite disturbing. Like, and I'm not trying to blame anybody because that's not the point. We're trying to get going again. My whole focus is on, I want to get working again. I want to see people working. And, it's going to be a debate for a long time after this.
Okay. So Jordan said Airbnb. I can't say about that one. One second. Okay. Mm-hmm. Make sure I'm not missing anybody. I don't know what he meant by Airbnb. Fury says they're really great with banks pre-earning calls, especially JP Morgan. Where do you see the banking sector from here? I think it's possible we can see a U.S. equity rise to numbers we didn't think was possible. So, okay. So that's a pretty optimistic viewpoint.
Yeah, I agree with that one 100%.
So Kevin says, James, you think new lows will be tested? Question mark.
Ooh, I think we're going to have rough days ahead because I've been through this with 87. 2008 was like a long kind of climb. 2000, when you had the massive sell-off, it was a very slow, slow rise out of that. But it was signaling some other things going on. I think, you know, I hate to focus on the president, but we're in the Trump era and we have a volatile personality who's in charge. And so you're going to have a lot more volatility. I mean, Obama was very steady. He was a very steady, different kind of personality. We have a guy now who will get on TV and yell at people. So when the president does that, it's scary. Like the market goes crazy. And I think there's a lot of unknowns. Like, there are people saying, well, what happens if we get a second wave? What happens about this? What happens about that? We really don't know. And we really didn't know. We still really don't know. If you look at a lot of the data, there's a lot of oddball things. Like if you look at global data, for example, almost everybody in Germany got the disease, got coronavirus, but very few people died. Whereas if you go to Italy, Italy had this enormously higher death rate than pretty much any other country. At least as far as we know. Like, I think a lot of countries are lying and a lot of things are, you know, I think there's some people are arguing that some of the death rate in the U.S. has even been inflated a little bit. But so I think, you know, you could have a couple of bad days. I do think I agree with a couple of comments before this. I think we're going to see higher highs than we can possibly believe. I think by the end of the year, we're going to be smiling.
Smile. Okay.
You definitely want me back on again. You're going to be, you stuck with it. Nobody believed you. They were ready to kill you. You told them you were out there drinking bourbon when you should have been selling stocks. And like,
and that was what, 2000, you was right about last year, 2019. Everybody was expecting a major sell-off. Everybody was expecting a major drop. It didn't come. We had a great year in 2019. Yep. 2020 comes around and it's just, you know,
everybody. Well, you know, you brought it up, and I didn't talk about it too much when I was first on, but post-election years are kind of rocky. You usually have an up year, but not a great up year. There's a lot of weird stuff. Then you throw in something like this. This is a wild card. But historically, when you get these massive sell-offs, the spring back is usually really big. So, you know, one of the things we used to always say is that things always are a lot worse than you think. They get a lot worse than you think they're going to be, and they always get a lot better than you think they should. So if General Electric is a $20 stock and it went to $6, maybe it's going to be a $25 stock on the upside. Who knows? You know, you don't know whether we're trying to reestablish that value thing now.
Okay. I believe with Yarn, I think he's saying Yarn, he says we will get through this mess. Definitely believe we will. Woke One says, I like you, James, but the second quarter will be a bloodbath.
Well, he could be right.
With the recovery in the third and fourth.
He could be right, because think of it this way. We don't really know how a lot of companies are going to be impacted until they reopen. And a lot of things, no one's mentioned this yet, because, of course, this is another thing that gets played down a lot, is that what about the states? For example, New Jersey is already having pension shortfalls. There's New York City said they're going to have like a $7 billion deficit. Westchester County is talking about laying people off. There's a lot of big issues going on statewide. Now, what's going to happen with them? Because, you know, you can raise taxes all you want, but if people aren't working, they're not paying taxes. So it's like I think that's going to be the bigger issue. There's a lot of states that were kind of like New Jersey that were probably way over their head in what they were spending. And I think now, unfortunately, a lot of people are going to find out the hard way what that really means. So, and I'm particularly concerned about the pension issue.
So C Lane said, just tuned in. Hi, Prince and James. Why is the market not dipping heavy with high unemployment and a virus? Sorry if you have already asked this. So with the high unemployment numbers, with millions of people being laid off, with all this going on, why is the market not dipping? And we're seeing these big run-ups at the end of the day. What do you have to say?
That was what we saw a couple of weeks ago when we were going down, down, down. And that was already telling us that this was going to come up. This is factored into the market. And I think the fact that when you see the unemployment numbers, it's almost like the market goes up almost immediately. And you're like, why is such bad news? Why is the market going up on such bad news? Because the market actually factored that it was even going to be worse. So I think there's a lot of, I think the market factored much worse than this. And I think, mind you, of course, I'm a big optimist, but I think that it factored worse. And I think we're starting to see that come. So they're correct in the comment. It's just that I think the market already told us it was going to be bad. Now it's looking 6 months down the line, maybe even past into the third and fourth quarter.
Okay. I definitely would agree with that. So LHJ19 Prince, do you think the oil and gas industry would eventually bounce back? Me personally, I believe the energy sector will do well, but I'm not a big fan of oil. And oil and gas, they're in the same sector. You know, energy brings in utilities and stuff like that. They got hammered the worst that I've seen. There was the worst performance sector out of all of them, out of everybody else that's leading the pack. So I think when they spring back, they would hit higher highs. I think they would do very great. So if it was me, I would be more interested in the energy sector. But I'm not really passed on the oil because it's too oil. I don't like the OPEC, and you know the OPEC is what those countries get together. They agree to something. Oh, we're only going to cut down to 10 million. Then they get mad at somebody. Then they just go. I don't have time for that. You know, a Saudi Arabian prince just wake up one day and say, you know, I'm going to pump all the oil out of the ground, throw the oil prices out of whack. I don't have time. That's too volatile for me. I'm not smart enough for that. But energy sector, I believe in. And so that's me. What do you think, James?
Well, I think you're pretty much right. I think with energy, oil has been in a slump anyway before this happened. Mm-hmm. And then they got really hammered. And I think, again, you're going to see like maybe – one stock, like I haven't even looked in, like I have a couple of oil stocks, but I haven't even looked at them in years because I don't expect that much for them. And they're kind of like a hedge against a lot of the other part of the portfolio. And if you have a $100 stock and now it's like a $12 stock, well, maybe that stock isn't a $100 stock. It's probably not a $12 stock either. So maybe it's going to be a $25 stock. So I think you're going to get a lot of bounce ups here from very oversold positions, but don't confuse that with that this is a long-term like good value. I think that sector has got a, there's a lot of weird stuff that went on with that sector. A lot of technology like fracking has totally changed it. Also hidden in this mess of news with coronavirus, they made a huge oil discovery in Alaska. I believe it's bigger than Prudhoe Bay, which is where the, and it's right on where the pipeline runs through already. So there's another big, huge oil discovery there. So with all this stuff going on, and like you said, years of seeing OPEC and these other countries, you know, that like they make an agreement, somebody gets mad at somebody, and then all of a sudden they're cheating or doing this or doing that. And I think that's going to be, I wouldn't be super bullish on that right now.
Okay. So, Harlem Finance said, positivity does not sell. I agree. Mark said he agrees. I agree with Bones. The government overreacted. Taku said, I just literally canceled my cable yesterday. They are too much. Smart move. By the time.
Yes. Stay away from the news. Read a book. There's plenty of great books to read. This is a good time to catch up on your reading, especially if you got laid off or furloughed. Read.
Mm-hmm. Somebody's saying smart move by him. Patton says, hey Prince, Pity Pat here from North Carolina, NC. What are your thoughts on KROS? Medical's looking okay these days. KROS, let me look up. Let's see what.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. Give me 1 second here. Let me look it up.
Where's my thingamajiggy here? Right.
I have it up. We're going to look up KROS. And I'm going to share my screen here as well. So.
Yeah.
KROS.
Hey, man, where's my? I don't have my screen up here. Anyway.
Where am I at? Okay. Share screen. All right, so we're on Yahoo here. Let's go to find. Oh, look, there's one of our previous guests, Andy Sori. Okay.
Oh, interesting.
KROS. Sound like I'm pretty sure. Oh, Kroger. Oh, the food store. The grocery store. Grocery store. Everybody should be able to see the screen as well. They should be able to see me and you and the screen. But they're talking about the grocery store. Let's see how was this grocery store doing before. Because I knew Walmart and Target was doing pretty well before. Looking at this, this is a 5-year chart I'm looking at, James. And this company is pretty flatline, you know. It's just a 5-year. Make sure it's a 5-year. I don't want to be.
Right.
I don't want to be an idiot and look at a 5-day chart.
Yeah, well, it's.
So here we go over the last 5 years. Let's see how this company has.
No, I think this is Keros Therapeutics, right? Keros.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think you're right. Keros.
I think it's only been around for a short time. It only looks like it's been around for.
That's why.
It's a little early. I don't know that much about the company. I would say, obviously, with the virus thing, anything in the drug business, biotechs, pharmaceuticals, all that kind of business has got to be a place you got to look right now. And you're seeing, I mean, there's just a myriad, whether you're more conservative, you can buy these big, huge companies like Johnson & Johnson, or Pfizer or some of these other ones, or go to the big biotechs like some of those, you know, Biogen or stuff like that. I mean, I think this brings to the forefront a lot of interest, and particularly with a more sort of friendly FDA, it looks like they're pushing to get a lot of stuff out there a lot faster. One of the things that this virus, this entire coronavirus, has shined a very bright light on is how overly bureaucratic the entire sort of medical, pharmaceutical, healthcare business is, and how slow it is to try to get things done, even when you have the right, when you can do the right thing. I think what you're going to see is a big realignment and rethink over that whole business, whether it's medical equipment, drugs, a lot of different things I think are going to change. And I think also this emergency has given drug companies an opportunity to try some things that they may had to wait years and years to do in the past. And I think we're going to see some pretty amazing results. You know, you always see all these, oh, it takes 2 years to approve this or that. Not in this environment. It's not going to take 2 years. There's no way that it's going to take 2 years.
With me, when I look at the pharmaceuticals, I looked at the entire sector. Right. I'm not smart enough to pick which one is going to come up with the virus. Every day somebody comes up new with getting funding for virus or somebody's making headway on the virus. Just like you talked about Gillian yesterday, a week before with somebody else.
Right.
For me, I'm not smart enough to pick out who's going to come up with the virus, but I know somebody will come up with a vaccination. I don't know why I keep calling the virus. Somebody will come up with a vaccination. So with me, if I was interested in this sector, unless I had some insider, I worked in this sector. Me, I look at investing in the entire sector, and I look at becoming bullish on the pharmaceutical sector, which you can do. It's a ETF out there, a bullish ETF called PILL, P-I-L-L. So I'm not smart to pick the right one because pharmaceuticals, as you know, James, they go flatline. They just shoot up overnight. And then it just flop. I don't have time. I don't
know. Yeah, I generally call it the, especially with the smaller biotechs, you do like what I call the chicken on the egg thing. You just got to sit on them. And when they come out with some great news and the stock blows up, you either sell it and take your profits and run for your life, or you don't trade them on momentum. You don't look at the chart. You just, if they have a cool idea, if it works, you're going to get a big hit. If it doesn't work, you're dead. Cause by the time you know about it, it's way too late to sell. So you kind of one way, the bigger drug stocks used to work because they had a lot of like long-term drugs that were big profit makers. That situation maybe has changed a bit because a lot of stuff has come off patents. So there's all kinds of generics to compete against them and a lot of pressure on the drug companies to get the prices down of a lot of this stuff. So it's a different kind of business to get involved in. I like your idea with the ETF. It's probably safest for a long-term investor.
Yeah, I'm not smart. Like, I'm bullish on it. I believe somebody will come up with the virus. I mean, someone will come up with a vaccination, because if I was in that industry, I'd be working 25 hours a day trying to come up with a vaccination because that's, you're sitting on a fortune. So I believe somebody, capitalism, like what Bones was saying earlier, the private market capitalism will take care of that problem. Somebody will create something. I know that industry will boom when that happens, but I don't know who it's going to be, where they're going to come from. I don't know. I don't work in that industry. I don't know anybody in that industry. So I'm hands off with that one. So the next one, Furious says, what do you think about MA and V? So I know those stock symbols, if I'm not mistaken, MasterCard and Visa. Right. So what do you think about consumer debt at a time like this with people being laid off? Maybe people swiping a credit card. Maybe people live off that credit card. What do you got to say about MasterCard and Visa consumer debt?
Yeah, I'm a little I normally I've been pretty gung-ho with those, especially in the age of internet commerce. Now everybody's buying on Amazon and all these other things. And, you know, like that kind of anything you could stay home and just order things in, you know. But then you have this flip side where probably within a couple of months, maybe a couple of quarters, like the other gentleman pointed out, that we're going to start to see a lot of the impact of this. We're not going to recognize it right away. So I would be a little scared. I haven't really looked at those stocks in a long time. Let me just see something. I know I have, I believe I have Visa anyway. I had it just to give you a, let's see something. Yeah. Now they might have gotten. Oh, yeah. They were flying. I don't know. Maybe, you know, sometimes people look at it, you know, credit's easy. In an era of easy credit, they may be more forgiving. We may not have the problem, or we may have it. I think it's going to be one of those things that we're going to, as business starts to come back, we're going to start to see what the real impact of this is. So we're going to see if people are really as broke as we think they are, or maybe they're a lot smarter than we think. From the questions we're getting today, a lot of your, clearly your viewers are quite smart. Or at least they're thinking, you know, they're thinking, like they're coming out with ideas. They're not just panicking and you know, curling up in a ball and hiding with pulling the sheets over their heads, you know.
And the thing about it too, my take on it is it's kind of what you hinted to earlier about the financial sector. It's great. People got credit cards, they're gonna be able to run up their credit cards, but you know, it's all good and fine and dandy until people can't pay off the credit cards.
Yep.
So, you know, that's a risk with it. With me personally, I know Visa is like American Express. Visa, you know, I always been tuned into American Express because to get a credit card with American Express, they're a little bit more stringent on who they give cards to.
Right.
So you pretty much got to, you know, so I would be, if I was going to go into consumer debt, I would probably take a risk at the American Express level because they're a little bit more stringent. You know, American Express, that's usually kind of the, ooh, you got to have good credit and you got to have a good payment
history. Right, you usually got to pay them off in 30 days. So usually you're dealing with people who make more money, that 30 days is not a big deal. It's like a long time for them. So it's kind of like a big, so yeah, that used to be the old thing that you would deal with the customers were higher end customers. Mm-hmm. So they would be less impacted by all these little economic glitches. But this is truly a black swan event. So a lot of this, we're not going to know. We're going to be talking about this like we did 2008. We're still talking about 2008, that big sell-off, and because of the CDOs, we're gonna be talking about this for another 10-15 years probably.
Okay, so let's get into the next one. Michael says, good afternoon, Prince and the Money Family, best show on YouTube. Appreciate it, Mike. Appreciate it.
Good, thank you very much.
Petey Pest says, what happened to Liberty TripAdvisor Series B? Where numbers happen? I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah.
So, and then Ashley said, is it too late to invest into the medical sector? I don't believe so. No. I believe that these vaccinations, like I said, I looked at something that was a very bullish ETF, was PILL. That one was, you know, I know when every time the talks of a vaccination comes up, you know, this thing goes up, it goes crazy. So we don't have a vaccination as of yet. So I think that
right. You have two things going on, Prince. You have like a vaccine, which would be like the golden goose to get a vaccine. But the other thing is therapeutics. In other words, if you do get sick, can we heal you? Can we make you better? And there's a whole big, that's where that malaria drug that the president mentioned that he got all kinds of grief about, that actually works fantastic for the most part. They're finding a lot of, there's a couple of drugs for rheumatoid arthritis and other things that seem to be working in that area to be able to treat people who are already sick. So there's a lot going on. I think you got to balance. You got this, all these new things coming out, changes in regulation, and then against it, the counterbalance is going to be, because the economy slowed down, maybe people weren't buying prescriptions or maybe they weren't buying as much Viagra as they've been buying like before. So you may, like, for example, Abbott showed down earnings, even though they came out with a lot of new interesting stuff for the coronavirus. So it may take a little while to work itself out.
Okay. Kevin says, with so much uncertainty, I'm thinking of throwing all my investing money into the market and closing my eyes for 5 years.
Man, see, people, it's my friend always says, is the glass half empty or half full? And I always say, give me another. And then he told me the other night, when we go to a bar, you're the guy who goes, give me a, it's from that song from George Thorogood, one scotch, one bourbon, and one beer. I just ordered three in a row and I'm ready to go. That's it. And like, I would say if you were going to do that, I would sort of measure my way into the market. I would buy a certain amount. If we have a, I would just look for any down day and maybe buy on down days. I wouldn't spend it all in one shot because we don't know. We may have some really bad days coming. Don't be surprised. And if we do, it doesn't mean I still don't think the market's going to go a lot higher.
Okay. So what people are saying too is that, you know, I do like the thought process. Everybody's scavenging for opportunities.
Yeah.
Looking for opportunities. Because I always heard the best time to start a business is right after a market crash.
Yes.
So right after a market crash. So Mark Wingo, he says, what are encouraging all of our clients to pay off their credit cards reducing, you say, he said, we are encouraging all of our clients to pay off their credit card, reduce households' bills and in personal expenses to prepare, telling them to liquidity in the world of 2020. So be liquid. So pay off all your debt, you know, take down all the stuff you really don't need, and just kind of, you know, put your money in the mattress.
It's pretty much I'm a huge believer in no debt. You need to, a mortgage is one thing because at least you have a roof over your head, but pretty much for everything else, you want to live a debt-free life. And as soon as you can get to one, you will be amazed how much nicer and easier your life is. And suddenly you could make a very average amount of money, 50, 60, 75,000, but with no debt, it's a lot of money. It's an amazingly large amount of money. So, you know, I'm a big fan of telling everybody. The problem is it usually takes it during a catastrophe like this. It's hard to do it. You should have been doing this for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard. It's really easy to talk about, but it's a very hard thing to pay off your bills.
So now, what if you said, hey, I have $5,000 and I either can pay down my car loan or I can go buy a piece of land that's on sale.
Ooh. Well, for one, depending on the interest rate, I mean, if your car loan say is 18% and you pay it off, you made 18% without doing anything. It's a sure thing. So you made that money right away. Land is weird because it gets hot and cold. It's very speculative whether you like it or not. It is, because you never know. All of a sudden some guy could throw a pickaxe into the air and like they find oil on it and suddenly it's worth a fortune underneath it. Or it could just be a worthless piece of dirt for like, you know, I know people who bought land in upstate New York and they've been trying to sell it for 30 years. or people bought land in the Catskills thinking there were going to be casinos there and it never happened. And then they didn't live long enough to make the money off of it.
Wow.
Land can be a long-term thing. I don't get me wrong. It can be a great thing to buy, but I would look at it as a to build long-term value. In other words, you buy a piece of land because maybe you want to put a house on it or a getaway summer house or a place to run away or something to enjoy in your life. Or maybe you want to, you know, grow grapes and make your own wine or something like that. I don't know. Or Christmas trees. Who knows? You got some idea. I think you want to build. It's something you want to use to build value.
Got it. Okay. The Silver Lion says, good afternoon. I was wondering, what is your opinion on BlackRock? BlackRock, the big, you know, pretty much they own half of the world.
Yeah, they're the big dudes. I would be a little, you could have a lot of stuff on Wall Street, either a lot more trading and a lot more people getting involved in the market could drive a lot of business like crazy. Mergers and acquisitions, because usually when things get hammered, what happens is the companies that were prepared start sniffing around. I was around in the 80s. I still remember Michael Milken. I remember all that junk bond stuff. And guys like Prince were suddenly being able to borrow $100 million and buying General Motors. And suddenly you'd go from a guy who, like, you know, she was just out of the Navy to you were the chairman of General Motors overnight. And you're like, it was that crazy sometimes. And some of the people who became really wealthy and actually were good business managers were really serious nobodies. There were other guys who were big guys to begin with, like Carl Icahn and other guys who were really famous already before that even started. But sometimes there's a lot of opportunities. What did Baron von Rothschild always say? My favorite expression, buy when there's blood in the streets. And this certainly was about as blood. Like this was ugly. Like I'm looking at this and I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is not good. This is
okay. So Courtney Rogers said, James and Prince, what do you think about ABLT? Let me see what ABLT is.
What that is.
Never heard of that one. Give me one second, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to pull it up here.
Oh, American. But that's
American. Let's see what type of company this is.
Where do people get these? Like, it's funny where people get these stocks from. I'm like, wow, that's kind of a cool thing to. It's
basic chemicals, like a chemical company.
Yeah. I don't know whether that's fertilizer. I'm not sure what that is. Looks like it got a little whacked lately, but hold on, sir, everything. Let me just
Right here just says a basic materials, specialty chemicals. So you know what? Let's take a look here.
It was up to about 600 at one point.
Long term commitment to do this.
Yeah, that's higher. I'd have to do homework on that
protective,
one.
Protective films, commercial flooring, performance sheet rubbering, fashion jewelry, that type of stuff. When I look at something like that, right? When I look at something like that, I would have to. Good job. Do the next one.
Oh, hi.
Okay. Doing a little homeschooling at the same time.
Oh, that's awesome.
So the other thing, when I look at a company like this, if I don't have inside knowledge, like if I don't work for this company or I have to be close to this company or on the inside for me to even look at a company like this, it just for me, for myself, just to jump into something like this, I'm too far away from it. Like, you know, like you said, it might be a fertilizer type company. I don't know what that is.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I would look at their end users, like who do they sell their product to? And you'd have to, especially in a situation like this, you'd have to look at how quick the businesses that they're selling into rebound. For example, if real estate, say home building, kind of dies out for a while, that might really hurt flooring, but maybe not. Maybe they do. Maybe most of the business they do is they sell to Home Depot because people are stuck and can't sell their house, so they do a lot of home renovation. I don't know. So that's what you have to really focus on is what are those end businesses that they're selling into.
Okay. Now we have we got another question that popped up here.
Wait, Courtney picks a hard stock. Wow.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Said Tesla's makes history. What's your opinion on their earnings on the 29th? I have to look more into Tesla. You know, they had their earnings. I had to look more into that company because I'm thinking, I think they probably had a pretty big soaring day today, due to the market going up, but you know they've been soaring when everybody else has been soaring anyway. TSLA,
yeah,
they went up only 1% today, not too crazy. But then he said Tesla makes history. What's your opinion on this earnings on 429? Tesla it's just one of those weird. It's a bunch of hype.
Fundamentally,
nightmare. Fundamentally, Tesla's a nightmare. When you look at the sheets, it's red all over the place. Yep. But it's something about institutional investors that they love about it. They obviously, big money is moving into Tesla. That's what's controlling Tesla. Big money is moving into Tesla. I don't know why. I'm not that smart enough to pick up on it. I do have a Tesla somewhere in my portfolio. And it was, you know, it was one of those risky, hey, let's see what it does. But I can't really say.
Yeah, I'm with you. The hype scares me. It's a little too the hype fits all the historic sort of negatives. On the other hand, the guy's clearly a smart guy. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But I just that hype just that I'm always scared when there's too much hype about anything. I'm more bullish on things when other people are bearish. When everybody loves something or it gets promoted like crazy in the media, I'm always very, you know, because everybody's running around. He's a genius. He's this. He's that. He's wonderful. He's amazing.
And how many times have you seen this, James? I know in Wall Street, see these guys that get the hot hand and everybody runs behind. How many times have you seen
that? Oh, well, this is like Enron or like WorldCom or you could go way back. There was a stock in the 30s, which is a great case study, something known as Swedish Match. And after the meltdown in 29, Swedish Match continued to pay a huge dividend. The stock rallied up. It was hyped like crazy. And eventually, after about 10 years, it was found out that it was a big fraud. And I think everybody went to jail and it was like a total catastrophe. It melted down to nothing. But it held in there for a really long time. I don't know. Maybe it's like CDOs. Maybe there really is a lot of unsung value in there. I just, it's just so much hype. It scares me to death. But to short it or anything else is usually a recipe for catastrophe. So I would kind of, you know, if you have a strong heart and you don't mind the ups and downs, it's you'll certainly have a lot of fun. You'll never be bored with that stock, and you'll have a great chairman that's always got some crazy thing to say. I don't know if you saw yesterday, he was bashing CNN, and he said he doesn't even know why they're still on the air because their ratings are so low. He said, I don't even know why CNN exists. Wow. And it's, yeah.
So now, okay, I'll wait, make sure I'm going to get right back to you, Kendrick. So LLJ says, Prince and James, I'm a little late. Hey, thanks for checking us out today live. Prince and James, I'm a little late. Had to say something while James is in the house. Could you speak to VTSX? It gets a lot of buzz. I'm thinking that is the total market fund. That is the Vanguard total market fund. It's the Vanguard total stock market index. So it's just that total market fund where not only you get the S&P 500, but you get the SP 500. You get the, what is it? I forgot what it's called, the DAX in London.
So you basically just buy everything.
Yeah, you got Shanghai. You get all the major indexes. You pretty much, instead of getting just the S&P 500, which is America, you get everything. You get the whole world. So it's a total market, you know, across the globe.
Yeah.
Total market global funds.
Yeah, well, if you want a lot of diversification, after a massive sell-off of the global stock markets, you probably can play the bounce to some degree. I'd have to look at this thing more carefully because some of these mutual funds, you have to be really careful because they're not as diversified as you think they are. For example, with the S&P 500, I believe the 10 largest market cap stocks are like 99% of the move on the S&P 500. So you have 10 stocks that basically control that whole huge index. Old-fashioned guys like me still look at the Dow a lot, even though most money managers all look at the S&P, because the Dow, for whatever weird, crazy reason, seems to be, at least to me, is a better predictor of what's
going on,
what's coming. What's coming in the future. So that could be really good. The only problem is, too, who knows, with a virus like, for example, depending on how it's diversified, you don't know, maybe some other country has some disaster with coronavirus, and how is that going to impact that index? Like, their markets may get shelled. So that's what I would be. It might be a case where it's diversified, or what they used to call the fund of funds. So we used to call it the fee of fees when I used to be a stockbroker, because it was like fees on top of fees on top of fees. So it was a way to make all the money managers would all make money off of it, but the clients wouldn't make that much money because there were so many fees.
Oh, wow. So now this is my take on it. When I look at a total market index fund, when I'm betting on capitalism and I'm betting into the future and I had to pick a country, I would probably pick America, because we know capitalism best from what I can see. I mean, and if somebody is better than us, we got a military to handle that. So that's just
I 100% agree with you on that one. I think, yeah, I think particularly in the current circumstances, this is the place to be.
So when I look at the total market, it's just like, hey, when I'm betting on capitalism to make me money into the future and I had to pick on a country, I like America better, because when you look at the S&P 500, those companies are already global anyway. They already have global exposure. You know, McDonald's has global exposure.
Right.
Google has global exposure. Right.
Coca-Cola has global exposure. Yeah,
they're already exposed to the global market anyway. So, you know, to get the total market, you know, people are saying, hey, let's diversify outside of America. When it comes down to money, I mean, I was lucky enough to be born in the richest country in America, in the world. I'll be a fool not to take advantage of it. That's just my
I totally agree with you. I wish more people would think that way. It's nothing's perfect. Everything is not perfect. But if you get a plate, you know, I may not like rare steak, but I'd rather eat rare steak than not eat anything, right? You know, why do people complain when they hey, it's not perfect, but it's an opportunity. There's a lot of opportunity no matter what you do.
Okay. All right. So this is going to be the last one, guys and girls. We have Kendra Taylor says, what do you think about telehealth? Also in China, finish Silk Roads and becomes a true service nation. Where would that lead the United States? Telehealth, the first question, I'm thinking that's the company that does like a Zoom thing. And it's like it does health online where you can kind of, somebody can get online like this and diagnose you and see how you're going. If I'm not mistaken, I've heard of that before. I just think that I don't like companies that were flatlining and they're booming during this particular time. For prime example, Clorox bleach. That's a consumer staple. Clorox bleach was just a flat line. It was just like Coca-Cola. All of a sudden, everybody got the virus. Clorox just jumps up just like Zoom. Yep. Zoom was just a regular online thing. Then it benefits from a time period. Yep. But I believe once we kind of get back to normal now, you know, people get normal, people start going back to the doctor's appointment, those things will kind of dip off. Like, I don't think that Clorox is just going to be, you know, booming for the next 5 years. I don't, that's me. I don't believe.
Well, I think I agree with what you say. I think though, this is what we're going to see now is the shakeout and a revaluation. So maybe Clorox is going to go back to the norm, mm-hmm. or maybe it is always going to be a big thing for a while. Maybe it's a temporary big thing that's going to last far longer than the coronavirus, but maybe not. And things like Zoom or like telehealth might be a new wave. A lot of employers may say, you know what, we really don't need all these offices. Maybe it's better, it's more productive to have people work from home and do all this stuff. And so, and look at education. You're homeschooling, right? Are your schools closed with Wesley?
Yep.
All I hear is parents going nuts. They're like, I'm like, remember, if you're having trouble with your kid learning and you're thinking this, remember the biggest problem is he's your kid. Yeah, so that's like, yeah, it's like he's your kid. So what do you come, you know, like, this is your kid. You are sending him somewhere else. And now you can't, like, come on.
I wake up in the morning, like, I got to go teach Wesley.
Yep, hey. But he's probably teaching you. He's smart. I mean, he's got a book about insurance. I don't even understand insurance. And I'm 58. I worked on Wall Street for 20 years. I don't understand insurance.
So that's the okay. Hold on. Okay, so I see we got a couple questions. I'm not going to take any more. Tesla makes history. People are asking about the 10 days. We're up. Yeah, guys, we're coming to the end of the show. I got to get out of here. I can't look at anything else. Courtney says, understood and thanks, guys. Fury says, what do you think about the dark pool? I don't want to get into that. Andy's asking about Amazon earnings. I don't want to get into that either because it's late on into the show. I'm about to close out the show. So Max B says, where can we get in touch with Uncle James?
Well, there's a couple of things you can do. First of all, if you look on Facebook, I have a page called Unofficial Wall Street, which is for the tours. But I put a lot of other stuff on there that I think is important to people who are interested in finance and economies and economics. And the other thing is on YouTube under James Foytlin, F-O-Y-T-L-I-N. I have a bunch of, like, I call them sort of New York Minute videos about, some of them are all on Wall Street, like crazy things about Wall Street history, about the Buttonwood Tree, about George Washington, about stuff like that. And other stuff is about stuff that's going on in the stock market. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of fun. So you can always tune into there. And generally, if you send me an email, especially at Unofficial Wall Street, if you just say hello and send me an email, eventually I'll realize you sent me an email. Just give me a couple of days because sometimes Facebook doesn't quite let you know you get those emails. They're a little slow, or I just don't notice it for some reason. Okay. So
yes, and I do share some of your videos here as well, so people can check out your YouTube channel. I know you're on YouTube and you're on Facebook with Unofficial Wall Street. You got the Ridgewood blog.
Right, the Ridgewood blog, yes.
Somebody actually took a tour from the show.
Yes. I've had people take tours. I've had a lot of people tell me they watch your show. Well, you're a big deal. What, did you have 30,000 viewers or something? I wanted to say, that's the thing I didn't say. Congratulations, because that's huge. Yeah. I mean, Prince is like I mean, come on. He has Mark Cuban on his show. I mean, I'm no Mark Cuban, but I can put on a good show myself. I mean, he's on the Mark Cuban. I can't compete with Mark Cuban.
That's why I brought his latest book, and that's why I did a review on it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah,
that's
awesome.
That's pretty cool. So I think that's pretty crazy. In New York City, you say, hey, people say, hey, you know, I watched this show.
Yes. Absolutely. Wow, absolutely. They do that.
Wow. What did you say the first time you heard that, James?
I told him you're the best. I said, you're the guy. I said, don't even look at anybody else. Go right to Prince. Especially if you're trying to learn a little bit and you want to deal with somebody who's looking for answers. Because the whole issue is we're in this weird world now where we don't like to admit this, but in order to learn, you have to fail and you have to try things and you have to do stuff. And there's not always, you know, a correct answer right now might not be the correct answer 2 weeks from now. And investing is a process. It's not like the yellow brick road where you get to a point and you're like, I know everything. I'm Warren Buffett now. A lot of people think that, but believe me, no matter how smart you are, you get creamed. Eventually you'll get your comeuppance. You get creamed again. Something happens that you just don't expect, like 9/11, like the coronavirus, like 2008, like with the CDOs, like who even knew what they were. And then of course you get all those people who pat themselves on the back and go, I told you, I knew this was going to happen. And they didn't know anything.
So we have Maddox says, thank you guys. They said, thank you guys. Maddox says, thank you guys. Taku said, when are you going on Valuetainment again? No, I'm not going on Valuetainment. Valuetainment is supposed to come on here. I think their date is May 4th. Pat Davis, they're supposed to come on here May 4th. I can't remember the time off the top of my head, but I know the date is like awesome. May 4th. Valuetainment is the largest entrepreneurship channel on YouTube. And their host, Pat Davis, is supposed to come on here. I got the confirmation that he's supposed to be on here probably on May
4th. Oh, great.
Hopefully everything lines up. I don't like to usually tell people's future guests sometimes because I know things happen all the time. But that's the schedule. That's the schedule I got from him. He's supposed to come on to this show on May 4th. So I'm not going on to his show, at least that I know of. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank y'all for tuning in. James, is there anything you want to leave everybody out there with?
Oh, no, just it's a process. Just keep going. Don't get shaken. Stick to your guns and keep doing what you're doing. And you're doing the right thing by trying to do all this stuff. And it's Rome wasn't built in a day. It takes a while. And then all of a sudden, one day you wake up and you're like, wow, that ended up being a lot of money. It's like those little pennies do add up. It's hard to believe at the beginning, but after a couple of years, you're like, whoa, that's a lot of money there all of a sudden sitting there.
Okay. So Taku says he's a big fan. Yes, he's a big fan of, I think he's talking about a big fan of Valuetainment. Yeah, so
cool.
He's supposed to be here on, you know, May 4th. That's the last word I got. That's the last confirmation that I got. So, you know, so y'all stay tuned and hopefully hear from Pat Davis. He's actually a veteran too. He served in the Army. So, you know, I definitely like that about him as well. So, but anyway, guys and girls, thank you guys and girls for tuning in. Always, I'm your host, the Prince of Investing, Prince Dykes, coming to you guys and girls live all the way from the beautiful state of Denver, Colorado. And also, y'all know y'all have, you know, Uncle James here, friend of the show, and I'm pretty sure he'll be back plenty more times in the future. Wall Street veteran, you know, got the gray in his hair, been around a lot of good stuff. So definitely thank you guys and girls for tuning in. And to the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else you see me do crazy around the globe. Peace, be safe. I'm out, and thank you.